It is hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Coming up at 2:45, it's Stems and Seeds. AJ Boye has a new home in the NFL. At 2:30, we check in with Ari Temkin to talk Dallas Cowboys draft, the Chris Beard hire, and also Baylor winning a national championship of men's basketball. In a mere minutes, why does April 8th matter? A day that you should want to be listening and watching on the Twitch feed for. Find out why by going to hornfm.com and checking out that Twitch feed. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
You're darn right. Hope everybody's having a good Thursday. Yeah, we're going to get into some weirdness of why today matters. And I'm checking out the Masters here, get you a Masters leaderboard. In fact, we'll do that right now. I've put together a group of golfers I think you might care about, and I'll keep you updated. Here we go. Phil Mickelson, -1 through 6. Dustin Johnson, -1. He's through 14 holes. Jordan Spieth's out there, 2 holes in, -1. Bubba Watson, even par. Scheffler, +2. DeChambeau, +2. Come on, Smart Hulk. Koepka, +2. Trying to get that knee back to shape. Fratelli had a bad day, 76. Don't know if he's bouncing back from that. Sergio, +4. Adopted Austinite. Jason Day, +5. I just kind of like him. I threw him in there. He's one of those guys that we think could win it, but probably not this year. And Rory McIlroy, ooh, career Grand Slam guy. Could be the 6th ever to go career Grand Slam. Yeah, he's +5 already through 14. That's not good. The lead is at -4. Leishman and Webb Simpson at -4. Can't wait to get home and watch the Masters. The kid version of me would laugh at the adult version of me saying that. I used to not watch golf. I used to not like golf. I am locked in on it now, and I love watching these tournaments. I've got it set to record. I'm going to go home and start watching the Masters. So I admit it, it's going to happen. Hope everybody has a good Thursday. Somebody texted in on the Specs text line after hearing me say this earlier in the show. 337-3776 that says, "Wow, Chad, I work with a local realtor and found out yesterday that a married couple was born on the same day as each other. First time I've ever heard of that. Their birthday was yesterday." And I mentioned earlier, my parents' birthday is today. Married couple, born exactly the same day, 13 hours apart on April 8th. So happy birthday to all you strange couples that happened to end up with somebody that was born on your birthday.
That'd be especially awkward if you not only learned that after dating for a few months, but you realized that you were twins separated at birth.
Now that would be an awkward, yeah, really awkward wedding.
That'd be a problem, right?
Awkward wedding, awkward dating.
You're having to call things off, even if, let's say, you're 2 days away from getting married. You've been dating for 6 years. The consensus is that you are the perfect couple, and everybody wishes they could be more like you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you got to throw away all the shirts people would get you that said twinsies. And you say, "Oh God, all right."
I think you just bury that one, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, because you would assume that you've already test driven the respective car.
Yeah, no, you got to move
by that point too.
Move, get a therapist. Yeah, we just don't want to think about that. That's terrible. That is terrible. Ari Temkin coming up at 2:30. We hope he will not be terrible. So, Trey, we're going to have to move things around.
We're confident he will not be terrible.
We're confident that he will not be terrible. Ari Temkin's never terrible. Talking some Cowboys. I want to know, Trey and I have devised our Cowboy question, and every time we ask it, the answer comes back, "Well, Penei Sewell's not going to fall." Like, well, that's not what I asked you. I asked you.
I know, that's funny, isn't it?
I asked you if the Cowboys are sitting at 10, and Sertan's there, and Sewell's there, what do they do? And I want to know what Ari thinks the Cowboys might do there. We'll get to that. We'll get to the Big 12 stuff. But we do need to rearrange a little bit. Trey, let's tell them why today matters, shall we?
Oh, boy. You just caught me in the middle of
so close.
Cutting off the final commercial break last hour.
This my bad.
Here we go. By Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
All right. And ironically, this ends up being a day where Why Today Matters doesn't have a ton of stuff, but we found a few things to have fun with, including some kind of arts and crafts that you found. What did you find for today?
Yes, today is Draw a Picture of a Bird Day, Chad.
Boy, we do have too many days, don't we?
Too many days.
All right. Well, I drew mine. Did you draw yours?
Yeah. So I suggested before the show that we draw pictures of birds and show the people so that they can judge our art skills or lack thereof.
Mm-hmm.
You want to show the people what you came up with?
I will. Can I? Okay, you did say birds. Hang on.
Bird. Just a single bird.
I thought you said birds.
Well, I did say birds plural because you have the same idea as I do, as we're going to reveal to the people afterwards.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
Here are mine. I've drawn three birds. I drew the bird. I drew the finger.
See, that's hard to see because of the writing on the back.
Is it? I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you're going to have to find another piece of paper to cover that up.
Oh, hold on. I'll get you a background. We'll get you a little background. How about this? I got the... Okay. So I drew the bird itself. I drew the hand flipping the bird.
What the hell is that?
And then I drew Larry Bird.
Larry Bird. Good.
You see him?
Well done.
With the 33?
You took it a step further. No, I don't see the 33.
Oh, he's wearing 33. Down there. Yeah, there you go.
All right, well.
All right, there you go. I drew birds.
I also drew that bird. Not very good. Can you see that real time?
Hang on. I can. Hold on. Oh, yeah, that's not bad.
Well,
that's not bad.
This one I'm a little bit more proud of. I actually drew
one's better. Yeah, that's
a real
really
bird too, and I was pleasantly surprised this just wasn't a train wreck.
Hey, speaking of birds, should I be disturbed that my child created a finger flipping everybody off on her Etch-a-Sketch? Should that disturb me, or should I be somehow excited by it because it means she's a little artistic?
When did she do it?
I don't even know. We have a little, like an Etch-a-Sketch that's, I don't know. It's a mini little Etch-a-Sketch. It might be 4 inches across. It's very, very small.
Oh, making one on one of those minis. You should be proud.
Okay. Because, yeah, I come home one day to say, you know, and I say hi, and I give her a hug. Hey, how did today go? And I look down, and this Etch-a-Sketch is flipping me off.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? And she just smiled at me and was really proud of herself.
Yeah, she should be proud. Those mini Etch-a-Sketches are impossible to deal with. So for her to actually draw a flipping off that looks realistic enough that you can see what it is, good for her.
So, yes, on Draw a Bird Day, now this is probably not something that I should do on Twitch. We shouldn't be flipping people off on Twitch.
Yeah, let's not go Tom Herman there.
How about this, though? I won't actually have the finger sticking up, but when you do the flip off, do you prefer the thumb out flip off? Do you prefer the just all fingers down? Do you like a little bit of the knuckles, the double knuckle?
So I think I can get away with doing the flipping off onto the camera. Because do you think I can get away from it? You're the boss. That's why I don't think
you
can anymore.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I have no idea. Here's my worry is that if you did that, somebody would then go back and screenshot it. And, you know, a Chris Bennett or somebody goes out there and screenshots it and you get in trouble. I don't want that to happen.
Well, that's what I'm asking you. You're the boss around here now. Am I going to get in trouble for this?
I would say don't do it. I'd say be careful.
Well, then I have to give you one of these.
Oh, come on. There's no reason for that. You did that around the camera, though. That's well done.
Yeah.
That was well. I can't reach that far.
The reason I have to go thumb out is because I have such a uniquely beautiful looking thumb, both of my thumbs for that matter.
That's not how I would describe
it. And that, it's just got a little bit of extra badass to it. Like a little bit extra insult. That hitchhiker's thumb with my middle finger, it does more versus this. That just looks like you're working with a claw. That just looks like Jason Pierre-Paul holding up just one of his hands, the hands that got firecracker blasted.
See, I am a fan, though, of the index finger and ring finger knuckle version. I like that one.
Like that
yeah,
one.
Exactly.
Versus this one?
Correct. I don't like that one as much.
Where it's like a fist with the middle finger sticking up?
I am not as much on that one. Oh, my God. For some reason, I have stories that involve my 14-year-old daughter and people flipping people off. But when we were in Florida at Disney, it was a very Florida moment. We were at an intersection, and this dude with a truck and a trailer got mad at somebody. He's driving. He was such the stereotype. He was driving with no shirt on.
Who?
He rolled his window down, not with a button, rolled his window down.
Oh, boy.
And Trey, when I say he stuck his entire arm out of the car, he leaned out. I could see his shoulder. I could see tats on his shoulder, and I could see, like, a decent amount of, you know, that third of his back or whatever, and he went all the way extended, and he went no knuckles. He went just finger up. Everything else was tucked, and he flipped that guy off. It was impressive.
Did he almost lose his mesh hat in the wind in the process?
I think that's the only thing he didn't have was like a mesh hat with some kind of weird saying on it that had, you know, started with the phrase "wine 'em" and ended with something classy. All right, so why today matters on your April 8th. Draw birds today. Today is Draw a Bird or Birds Day.
How about this one? This is one to surely make you cringe.
Yes.
Dog Farting Awareness Day?
Oh, come on.
It's a problem in the Elling household. I mean, each of our dogs are SBD warriors, and they'll be laying below us. And then all of a sudden, Justine and I look at one another as we're sitting there watching a show or just flipping through our various forms of technology at night. Like, did you do that? No, did you do that? Just look down at those mongrels, man.
Here's what I've realized about my dog. It's been a while since I've been the person for the dog. One of the weird byproducts of that is the dog feels comfortable doing that, passing gas around the person. My wife always complains about the dog doing that, but I don't have that experience because I think the dog doesn't feel comfortable enough around me. But when they are getting ready to go to bed at night, my wife's laying in bed checking Facebook, reading a book or whatever, and the dog is right up against her just feeling comfortable, then my dog just crop dusts the whole bed. And my wife has to deal with it. So I'm in that way, I'm kind of glad I'm not her person. I'm kind of glad the dog doesn't connect with me like that.
Well, yeah, because you won't even do that around Wendy.
Correct. And I don't need any creature doing it around me.
You excuse yourself.
I do. We'll figure out a way to deal with that.
And Wendy excuses herself?
Yeah.
But Monkey does not.
The child hasn't quite learned all the techniques.
Maybe that's one of those ways that she's going to revolt against you since she's such a good kid otherwise.
That's where when all my friends find out about that, that's what they love. They love it when I tell them that because they know how I am about it. And they're like, oh, that's wonderful that she's like that.
That's part wonderful. Of the, it's part of your child's role is to torture you in certain ways.
Yes, absolutely. No, that's what they do. That is what they're all about.
Hey, speaking of torture, it's National Dogfighting Awareness Day.
Is it really?
So if you're aware of some dogfights happening in the area, we would appreciate that on the Specs text line, 337-3776.
Yeah, I'm not about the fighting of... if anybody's going to fight and I get into it, I need everybody to fully understand what the fight is, and I don't like seeing it with dogs. I'm not even comfortable with the rooster situation. So, yeah, we don't need that.
Yeah, see, I would attend a cockfight. I would never attend a dogfight.
Yeah, I couldn't do the dogfight, certainly.
No, to the cockfight?
No.
What if it was a gender reveal cockfight, as we discussed on the show last week?
Specifically, if it was a gender reveal cockfight, I would not want to attend. Because I don't want to spread the idea that gender reveals need to be that complex. They don't. So I'd say no on multiple levels.
No cocks are dying in that fight. All that happens is the bag of whatever breaks, and maybe, you know, the rooster gets a little bit of pink or blue dust on it.
No, I can't do it.
But it's not like one of the rooster ends up all cut up, dropping dead.
In this case, it's like a Seinfeld deal with Whatley. It's, I'm not offended as an anti-cockfight guy. I'm offended as an anti-gender reveal guy. That's my level of offense. Because once you say gender reveal via a cockfight, that's where you've gone too far.
I feel like going cockfight with the gender reveal, it should be an unwritten rule that it's a boy every time.
That is a strange detail, but I like it. I like it.
It's Zoo Lovers Day, Chad. Now, you probably haven't been to a zoo in a while. And
I have not.
Even though they reek, I hate the smell of zoos. Whatever the olfactory version of misophonia is, yeah, walking around a zoo does that to me. However, there are those animals that are enjoyable to visit when you go to a zoo.
Oh, yeah.
You have a power ranking for zoo animals, maybe a top 4 or 5?
Yeah, I got to start with big cats.
They're pretty cool.
I'm a big cat guy first and foremost. Then I would go with the big freaks like elephants and giraffes. Then I'd probably go gorillas and apes. I got to put them down the list because I feel so bad for them because I know how smart they are. Mm-hmm. And it always saddens me to look in their face. So I got to slide them down a little bit. And then I'll go like snakes, as much as they freak me out a little bit. Something about seeing a 20-foot boa in a zoo. That's impressive. I mean, it'll startle you when you see like big boas or anacondas if they have the big ones. So that'd be my 4. What about you?
Perhaps well, underrated to you. I don't know if it's underrated to a lot of other people out there. If a zoo has a polar bear cage that includes an area where you can walk and see half above the water, half under the water, and the polar bear ever swims towards that window trying to break the window out so it can actually get some food, that's a really cool area if you ever get the chance the next time you're at a zoo.
I cannot believe you just said that, because as you were starting, I thought, oh, I forgot to mention the most entertaining thing I've ever seen at a zoo. That.
Where the polar bear's literally 2 feet away from eating a child.
San Diego Zoo. Well, easily, it is not, you can't oversell the San Diego Zoo to someone.
Yeah, it's one of the top two or three in the world.
Phenomenal. Their setup is what you described. You can see under the water and above the water. And Trey, I happened to walk by as a full-grown polar bear was playing volleyball with himself.
Wow.
It was awesome. He was knocking the ball around. It was just, you could tell, like, he was just in a mood. I think it was a he. And it was jumping in the water. It was showing off the swimming skills. It was showing off the ball skills. It was incredible to watch. It didn't come after any people because it was like me and maybe one or two other people at that moment. I was in there at kind of a midday thing. It was when I was with the Texas women's team for, was it the Final Four year? They ended up going through San Diego. Anyway, one of those years, one of those runs. And he was really impressive. That is, you're right. That is one of the coolest things I've ever seen at a zoo, because when he was involved and engaged in it, it was so entertaining. I stood there for probably 30 minutes watching this polar bear.
Monkeys are my number one, but I agree with you. I do feel bad for them because they are our closest ancestors, but they're still really cool to watch in action.
They're beautiful, especially the gorillas. I love gorillas at the zoo.
Big cats, especially the lions and the tigers, are really cool. Another one that you did not mention that I enjoy, like I can just be transfixed on this area for a good 5 to 10 minutes and just not need any other entertainment, the penguin area.
Oh,
where
yeah.
The penguins are jumping in and out of the water and swimming around, and they really are playing it up for people that are watching on the other side. They're hot doggers.
Another one where if you can see above and below the water, it's critical.
Yep.
Because you see that whole experience for them. Those are cool animals.
And then also the kangaroo area.
Kangaroo area.
Kangaroos are a lot like helicopters for me. I do not understand the technology going on there, and I'll just sit there staring awkwardly trying to figure it out.
Can you guess? We haven't mentioned it. Can you guess what my wife's favorite animal at the zoo is? I don't know if I've ever said this on the air. There's one particular animal that my wife loves at the zoo, above all else, and we haven't
rhinoceros.
Mentioned it. Rhinoceros. No. Rhinos are great at the zoo, though. My wife is an alligator person at the zoo.
Oh, yeah.
She loves the alligators. And when we met out in East Texas, ironically, Lufkin's Zoo, not a lot to write home about overall, but dude, somebody packed that place full of alligators. I swear there were eight of them in one spot, and they were beautiful. And so I remember standing there. It was early in the relationship, and I'm thinking, is this really the woman I want to be with, the one that hangs at the alligator pit? And then I thought to myself, yeah, I kind of think it is. Like, this is pretty cool. She loves the alligators.
Alligators are cool. Just mentioned the rhinoceros. Hippopotamuses.
They're cool, because I get to throw the stat out when I'm standing with people that hippopotamuses have killed more men than lions and tigers combined. I get to throw that out. I heard that when I was a kid, and I never forget it.
Okay, so this is not one of the more popular animals at the zoo, but since we're going there with the random stuff, this is the most murderous animal on the planet.
Okay.
You would never expect it either, but I learned it in a book that I read recently, Gory Details. You can check out my chat with the author at booksonpod.com.
Oh, that's well done.
So humans are like the 30th most murderous animal in the world.
Okay.
Which means that you kill your own species. The most murderous animal on the planet are meerkats.
Really?
The meerkat is one of the creatures in Madagascar.
Yeah.
It's like the little catty, ferrety looking thing.
Yeah. Meerkat is also, isn't that the one in Lion King where it's the warthog and the meerkat? The one that Nathan Lane voiced?
Yes.
Hakuna Matata?
Yep.
That's a meerkat.
Yep.
I didn't know that. They kill each other per animal. They kill more of themselves than anybody else.
Also up there, as infatuated as all of us are with these creatures, dolphins. Very murderous.
They kill each other?
They are gang rapers. They are murderers.
Wow.
Yes. Dolphins have...
Didn't know that.
Dolphins have an amoral streak in them.
Dude, we're learning a lot on National Zoo Lovers Day. Yeah. By the way, underrated maybe zoo if people don't know about it. That one in Waco is really solid. Cameron Park Zoo, I think is what it's called.
Okay.
It's a good zoo for where it is and where for what's going on. That's a good zoo.
I'll just assume that any zoo in this state is better than the Austin Zoo, which I realize is a sanctuary, so they don't always have the creatures that they're advertising.
I've heard it's gotten a little better, but I know what you're talking about.
Okay, well, maybe it has gotten better. When I had to do community service, and I picked the Austin Zoo, and I ended up bailing on the community service after 15 minutes, but I may still have put down 4 hours. That zoo sucked. That's the one time I was out there, and I will never go back there.
No, that's rough. The one time I was out there was about 95 degrees, and they had a Black Panther there, and it looked like Junior Dos Santos the night that Cain Velasquez beat him up for 5 straight rounds, and he just looked back at me like, dude, get me out of here. Mm. Whatever you can do. I felt bad for him. It's like his face was puffed up for something. Like you said, it's a sanctuary in some ways. Maybe he was sick, but it was just, it was bad. It was a bad vibe. But everything I've ever been to in Dallas, Fort Worth, San Antonio at times can have its issues, but it's still a pretty good zoo. If you get San Antonio on the right day and the weather's good, it's good. San Antonio, when it's 95 degrees at that zoo, that ain't fun.
No.
Ooh,
gosh,
it's
no.
It is a broiler. That's what makes San Diego so beautiful, because you get that great weather.
Yeah.
And you're walking around that zoo and you just realize, oh, this is it. Animals are all out. They're fired up. My man, the polar bear, was jacked up because he lives in San Diego.
Was he, though?
If he lived in Dallas, he might feel differently. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're right about that.
He gets that weather all the time, and he's ready to roll. So National Zoo Lovers Day, check that out. The one birthday we wanted to mention today was Robin Wright. Happy birthday to Princess, what was her name? Princess Buttercup?
Yep.
And Princess Bride?
That's right.
Robin Wright, very attractive.
She belongs in that Marissa Tomei, Diane Lane category. Of women who are, I'm assuming she's in her mid to late 50s at this point. She is such a smoke show.
She's a bottle of wine.
Just gets better with age.
Just keeps getting
right.
better.
But she was very, just like all of them were. She was very attractive in her youth, but she has kept it up well.
And as we talked about before the show, one of my favorite villains in movie history, Robin Wright as Jenny from Forrest Gump. One of the best villains in any movie. You watch that movie enough, you realize how horrible Jenny is, and she plays it so well that she makes you like her. And by the end of the movie, you almost forget that she's the villain.
Treats Forrest Gump terribly the entire time, including when she is HIV positive.
Yes!
And basically leans on him to help make the last bit of her life a little bit more comfortable. She's 55 today, Chad.
55?
She was born in Dallas, Texas.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Robin Wright, double nickel, and born in Dallas. Good for her. All right, there's your Why Today Matters. Up next, let's talk to Ari Temkin, Dallas Cowboys Radio Network, and the Big 12 Radio on Sirius XM. We'll get his thoughts on some hoops and some football. We'll pose our Cowboys question. It is Thursday. Don't move. This is the horn. All righty.
All right. Apparently, Spotify has decided to redo their platform and not play music. Thanks, guys.
The a cappella version, since Trey's talking car and drivers, I was waiting for, it was a beautiful day.
Why is this not playing? Oh, there we
go. Sun beat down. No, he's not going Tom Petty. He's going somewhere else. Well, if you ever to motor west. It's a good call.
Yeah.
Good drive.
Little Chuck Berry.
A lot of people have covered that one, too. His is probably the best version. Route 66. Trey's doing cars and drivers because of the new episode of Books on Pod, which apparently gets futuristic with cars. Is that what you're telling us?
Futuristic a little bit. It really examines the past, present, and future of the attempt to create the self-driving car. And they are pretty far along now, considering that they've only been trying to make this happen for about 20 years, a little bit less than 20 years. My chat with Alex Davies, author of Driven, lays it all out. Check it out, booksonpod.com. By searching Books on Pod with Trey Elling, wherever you listen to podcasts, or you can actually get those places through the platform that has been created now through hornfm.com.
Also at hornfm.com, you can see the link to the Twitch stream. I am jealous of all you people now, because now Trey is no longer looking at me. He's looking at you. And some are terrified by it, some are comforted by it, and some have developed, I'm sure already, like Twitter handles and religions based around your stare that is now going right into their souls. That has got to be scary.
Ooh, I realize I need to get Ari Temkin on the line now.
Yes, that is true. We're going to talk to Ari Temkin. Ari had an interview to do a little earlier. We were going to have him at 2, but he had a chance to talk to Homer Drew. who's got to be a proud papa right now. That had to be good. I wonder what that sounded like. We'll ask Ari here in a second if we get a hold of him. Homer Drew, maybe a little pimp walk for the kid. I mean, if you're a parent out there, you know you will brag when your kid, like, gets, like, if your kid gets nominated for, like, honor society, if your kid is going to be vice president of the junior high class, if your kid wins, like, third place at a volleyball tournament, you're putting it on Facebook. You're bragging to your friends because you know they like you enough to know, to go, congrats, Sadie. Way to go, Bobby. You're the man, Billy. But if your son is gutsy enough to go to Baylor, and then 18 years later, he gets to pimp walk a national title and win only the second national title in the history of the whole state of Texas, and he gets to stick it in the face of everybody else in this state? Yeah, I bet Dad was pretty proud of that. Let's find out. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline and talk to Ari Temkin, Dallas Cowboys Radio Network, Big 12 Radio on Sirius XM. Ari, we totally understand that we needed to move things around for you. How was the interview with Coach Drew? I was just saying he's got to be like the proudest dad ever. Could you get him to stop talking about his son?
No, I mean, he's incredible. And, you know, it's funny because when you talk to Scott Drew, you know, you can't help but think, is this guy, like, fake? Is he phony? Is he just – and that's, like, that's the impression you get when you talk to him, but it's also the impression you get when you talk to other people, you know, other coaches, other, you know, people in broadcasting, where they have the same impression of Scott Drew, where it's like, is he a phony? Is he fake? Is this real? Like, is he really like this? Is he really this positive and nice? And it's funny because talking to his dad for 10, 15, 20 minutes, and it's the same thing. You see where he gets it from, and it is completely genuine, and it's incredible. I mean, for instance, you ask him a question about challenges, and he doesn't once mention an actual challenge. He only talks about positives, you know, which is, I mean, it's a virtue, and it's something we all wish we could be, I think, to a certain degree, and, you know, it's just incredible to see somebody live it and breathe it and be it every day, and you know, Homer Drew is an incredible success story, and yet he didn't even get close to the level of success that his son has now attained. I think the furthest he made it was the Sweet 16. But what Homer Drew did, especially when you think of the emergence of mid-majors in college basketball, you feel like Valpo is one of those first major players to make it far, to break through in the mid-majors. It's an incredible story.
So, Ari, we'll bring it to Texas here in a second, but in terms of Baylor and just the job that he's done, it is a remarkable story to follow the guy that he followed, to follow the player kills another player, let's cover it up scandal at Baylor. Nobody would have gone there. I'm sure his dad thought, what are you doing on some level? But then he manages to win only the second championship in the history of the state. What did you make of the run, and how surprised were you that they laid it on Gonzaga like that?
So I guess I'd be lying if I say I wasn't shocked or surprised, but I picked Baylor to win that game. I picked Baylor to cover the points. You know, I got a sense that Baylor was a lot better than people thought they were, because I thought Baylor was better than Gonzaga before they had their COVID break. And then they go off for 21 days. They come back. They don't look like the same basketball team. But if you watch them throughout the tournament, you know, they were playing at that same level, especially because if you watched them in the tournament, you watched them before you know, all season, you would have noticed that. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely thought Baylor was going to win the game. I'd be shocked. You know, I'm certainly not going to say I thought that they were going to, you know, blow them out from the gate and lead and win the entire way. But, yeah, I mean, I think we just ran away with the idea, the narrative on a national level about, you know, Gonzaga being this undefeated national champion, and, you know, that Baylor, meanwhile, had sort of faced adversity, had overcome that adversity, and that can be really, really powerful. In terms of the, you know, Scott Drew taking the job, what you just can't think of a worse situation and scenario. You know, another sort of interesting insight from Homer in our conversation with him, which was, you know, that he sat down with Scott when they got the job opportunity, and they listed the pros and the cons, and he's like, and there were a lot of cons. But what he said, and this sticks with me, because, you know, I read this book by Malcolm Gladwell years ago called David and Goliath. And basically the premise is, sometimes your strengths can actually be weaknesses. Sometimes your weaknesses can actually be strengths. And I think, so the way his contract apparently was laid out was, he was given, they basically laid it out to where his six-year contract wasn't going to start until after the NCAA sanctions had stopped. And so, you know, that, because at that point in time, they didn't even know how long the sanctions were going to be, you know, were going to be. And so they laid it out to where, okay, you get 6 years after the end of the NCAA sanctions. So I bring up David Goliath to say, like, there are parts of this that actually were a major strength, because you can now go into a situation and have the luxury of 4 or 5 years of, like, pre-planning, culture laying, you know, figuring out the best. Like, you coaches don't get 4 or 5 years to just, you know, figure out things. You know, they got to get 4 or 5 years to get to winning. And the fact that he had that, those pre-years, I think, are so instrumental for the success and the foundation that they laid out and that have now achieved here at Baylor.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Ari Temkin, Cowboys Radio Network, Big 12 Radio on Sirius XM. We'll get to the Cowboys stuff, but as long as we're in basketball, now let's tie it back around to Texas. Next time Scott Drew faces Texas, who he's been given all kinds of trouble, he's going to face Chris Beard as the coach. And by the way, he's done well against Beard while Beard was at Tech. What did you think of the Chris Beard move? Not exactly a shocker if you've been following Texas basketball. Longhorn fans, I think, have wanted Beard for a while. What do you make of how it all played out and kind of the perspective from Texas's side of it as well as the Tech side of it?
I would say around the time the season ended for Texas and Tech, which was, you know, pretty a few days between. And I had friends of mine from Austin texting me and saying, hey, what do you think there's a likelihood that Chris Beard takes the job? And, you know, at first I was like, no way. He's just too ingrained. He helped build that new practice facility. You know, he's so much a part of that. And then I started talking to some people that I know in Austin and around the area. I talked to Tom Penders, who knows him very well. And my opinion changed 180 degrees from that, just based on talking to people close to him. And, you know, because you start to see some of the pieces and the priorities there that maybe you thought were there that are no longer there. And so, you know, I mean, it's a slam dunk hire. It's, you know, Shaka was a slam dunk hire too, but this is even more so because he's, you know, he's turned over rosters multiple times over. He went to the Elite Eight with a roster, lost basically the top four scorers from that roster, and then went to the Final Four with the next year's team. And then had the team the year later, which was completely different. And even though there's no tournament, that was a successful team. And then last year, same thing, where it's like you're turning over a roster, you're getting new guys in, and you're still successful. Like that's an incredible longevity where it's like, yeah, that'll work. So it's a slam dunk hire. I went to Kansas. The fact that they were able to get some of the assistants, they've been able to get Jarence Howard, and that's a big time assistant coach for the University of Kansas that was instrumental in some of their most important recruiting victories. You know, and as a Kansas fan, you can't believe that somebody would leave Kansas to go to Texas. But I think it's the strength of Chris Beard. It's the situation currently at Kansas, I think, that plays into that, and certainly money helps as well. So the assistant coaches that he's amassed, slam dunks. So they're obviously building the new stadium, which will be up, you know, not next year, but the year after. So, you know, everything is in place now for Texas basketball to really take off. And so now it's about it actually happening, and then obviously fans following suit.
All right, we're up against the break, but I want to squeeze this in. Talking Cowboys, people hear you on the Cowboys Radio Network. Our question for everybody is this: if Surtain is still sitting there at 10, and so is Penei Sewell, do you think the Cowboys have to consider taking Sewell at 10?
Yeah, I am firm on take the best player available. I just don't care about position. You know, and I do think if Kyle Pitts is there too, you've got to consider taking him as well. Mm. And even Rashawn Slater, the left tackle from Northwestern, another guy you got to consider taking. I think tackle needs to be a priority position for them, considering the age of Tyron Smith, and he's just not going to get healthier at this point in time. So, yeah, I think tackle has to absolutely be a priority. And I just think that probably the top 15 players in this draft are all offensive players.
Yeah, it's going to be a very offensive draft. It feels like video game people are running this draft. Really, I'm enjoying all the receivers and it's just quarterbacks. And it feels like it's all going to be skill there at the top. It's going to be fun to watch. That is Ari Temkin. We'll be checking in with him as we get closer to the draft. And once we get into the season, you hear him on the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. And I'll just bet you if you check out Big 12 Radio, Sirius XM, ESPNU, and all the stuff, I think you'll probably run into that Homer Drew interview. That's a cool get. Ari, we always appreciate the time, man. Hope your spring continues to go well, and we will check in pretty soon.
Chad, you know I always love you, brother. Be well, and take care.
Thank you, man. Ari Temkin, good stuff there on Baylor's win, Texas's new coach, and then the Cowboys. I would agree with him. If you think Sewell's the best guy and he's staring at you at 10, don't let that go by. Do not let that opportunity go by if it's there. Draft comes up 3 weeks exactly from today on the 29th. All right, before we get out of here, we will get you some stems and seeds NFL-wise. Somebody got a new cornerback. We'll tell you who that is, who's going to be at the draft in Cleveland, why another pro day matters in the top of the draft, and a couple other notes as well. Then we get you off to the triple option with RBKD. That is coming up at 3 o'clock. They'll keep you updated on the Masters. I'll get you a Masters leaderboard check-in before we get out of here as well. Hope you're having a good day on a Thursday. Remember, hornfm.com. You can now grab us on the Twitch stream if you like. This is The Horn.
Shirts and skins.
No doubt. This one definitely makes you think of cars and driving and all that. Tom Cochran, Life is a Highway. Song hit when he was like 75, I think. Is that what it was? Back
yeah,
in the 90s?
Unfortunately, Rascal Flatts have apparently taken over ownership of this song thanks to the Pixar movie Cars.
I bet Tom ain't mad, though.
Yeah, hopefully he got a nice payday out of that.
You got Disney money through that song?
Or his family got it so they can continue to pay his nursing home bills.
There it is, exactly right. A little further into the career on that one.
Shameless promotion of the podcast Thursday. The music is thematic for the new episode. And the Thursday episode for Books on Pod, booksonpod.com, is with author Alex Davies, author of Driven. It's all about the past, present, and future of creating a self-driving car. Highly entertaining episode. Check it out. Booksonpod.com. Search Books on Pod with Trey Elling wherever you listen to podcasts. Or now you can go to hornfm.com and check out the Books on Pod landing page. I think that's what the kids are calling it these days.
Yes,
Chad.
We got to get a landing page. Nice, good landing page built up so we know we can get you there. Yes.
And that'll push you to some of those other areas too.
So you do Tuesday and Thursday every week?
Mm-hmm.
My God, that's a lot, man. Reading the book, talking to the authors, two a week? Yeah. If you did like one a month, I think I'd be impressed. You're doing two a week. That's impressive.
Yeah, well, this week is recording three, but I only scheduled the third because it's with the guy who's like the head of the Special Olympics.
Oh, wow.
So that's a pretty big deal. It's going to be, I think, an entertaining conversation. But the other two conversations I had this week were all about parenting. One is looking at ancient civilizations to see if we can extract lessons for how they raise their kids and maybe tweak some things with how we currently go about things in modern times. And the other is about the effect of competition on efforts to parent in these current times.
Why do I feel like your kids are going to get read half those books? That's going to be tough.
No, they will certainly be privy to some of the lessons that I'm learning and trying to apply in my own life. Like one of the really interesting things that made me consider how to do things a bit differently is rather than almost try and order your kid not to do something because you're concerned with what the outcome is going to be, ask them questions and have them think about what it is that they're doing or thinking about doing. And it sinks in a little bit better for them to maybe change course.
It's actually perfect for you. What are you doing right now? Throw in the key words. Throw in the two magic words. They'll love you for it.
What are you doing right now, and have you considered the consequences?
Have you considered doing something else? All right, speaking of right now, let's go stems and seeds right now.
No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. Trey, you got something for me. I'll let you start with it. What's going on? ESPN, who did something?
So this is from Emily Ehman, E-H-M-A-N. I apologize, Emily, for not getting your last name pronounced correctly.
All right.
She is a Big Ten Network analyst for volleyball. She also does some other things in the college volleyball world, and she just reported this on Twitter. The first two rounds of the NCAA tournament, volleyball tournament, which is obviously delayed by a semester.
Yeah.
Those games that are televised, I guess, on ESPN are not going to have broadcast crews or commentators.
What? Just a random volleyball game's going on?
Yeah. Now, she's pinning it on the NCAA. I'm assuming this relates to ESPN, which does broadcast a lot of these games. But I'm sorry. You need at least a very basic play-by-play person to let people know what's going on.
Not even somebody hooked up with the Zoom technology? They're doing it all over the place.
I feel like us allowing the remote broadcasting of these things is now tempting ESPN to consider trying to do it without anybody talking. I admit there are bad versions of this where maybe it is more worth just turning on the radio broadcast, like if you're a Longhorn fan and the options are...
Sure.
That Shill Brando or Craig Way. Then you go Craig Way.
That's an easy choice.
Every time.
Every time.
But for like random national broadcast of tournament volleyball.
Yeah, need to have something.
Give us a play-by-play and a commentator, please, ESPN.
There's no way Karch Karai doesn't have enough bandwidth to pull that off.
Right.
Call the man up. Figure it out. All right. Elsewhere in stems and seeds, the lead is -3 at the Masters. Matsuyama and Brian Harman are right up there at -3. Jordan Spieth, he's only 3 shots back of that. Even through 5 holes, +1 for Mickelson and Scheffler. Everybody else that I pulled up is +2 or worse. It doesn't seem like DeChambeau, McIlroy, any of those guys getting off to a good start. Enjoy the Masters, though, as we roll on. By the way, Carolina getting A.J. Boye is the NFL story we were going to bring up. He's going to miss the first 2 games because of the substance policy. He's 29. He played at UCF, and now he is Matt Rhule's in Carolina. He'd been banging around the league the last couple years, couple situations. Congrats to Mick Cronin at UCLA. He gets a deal all the way through 26-27. They have extended his deal. And we now know these guys are going to be at the draft for sure. Mac Jones, Ja'Marr Chase, Devontae Smith, Patrick Surtain, Trey Lance, Kyle Pitts. Yeah, some of those big names, they'll be there in Cleveland in 3 weeks. Also, if you're a tennis fan like me, French Open going to be postponed for 1 week. Triple option coming up. Enjoy it. We're back for a Friday show tomorrow, including Dustin McComas at 1. See ya!